Well, just before our pastor went on sabbatical, he encouraged us as a congregation to focus on two things while he's gone for the summer. He encouraged us to look to Jesus and to live for Jesus. And on Sunday mornings for the rest of the summer, we're going to do exactly that by looking closely at some of the teachings of Jesus. In fact, we're going to stay focused in on one type of teaching by Jesus, his parables. You see, Jesus was a master teacher. He had many different tools that he used, and one of these was parables. But that begs a question, what is a parable? Well, in essence, a parable is a fictional story that Jesus uses to explain or illustrate a spiritual truth. There are many different parables that Jesus uses in many different situations that we're going to see all different kinds of them this summer. But they're all used very purposefully by Jesus to teach spiritual truths. As many have said before, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And today we're going to look at one of the most familiar of these parables in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 18. And as we look at this parable, Jesus' words should lead us to ask ourselves a question. How are we listening? So let us listen as I read the first part of our passage, and then we will pray together one more time, asking for the Lord's help as we look to his word. Listen to Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he, meaning Jesus, spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Dear Father, we indeed want ears to hear. O Holy Spirit, open the ears of our hearts, of our minds, to hear your word. We want to hear Jesus today. Oh God, help us to listen. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Sharing good news is something we all like doing. But why? Because we know that people in general like to hear good news. While nobody likes to be the bearer of bad news, we'll jump at the chance to share good news. For instance, when my wife and I announced recently that we were expecting our third child, and for some of you that might be news even right now, that wasn't hard to share because we know people are excited for us as our family grows. When I have a financial report to give here at church and it exemplifies the gifts God has given to us and represents sacrifice and love, it's a joy to share that financial report because I know it brings you joy to see what God is doing in our church. When it's time to get back together again in person on a Sunday morning, that's going to be an easy thing to announce. Because I know everybody is longing for that day. And as Christians, we're no strangers to good news. In fact, we would argue that as believers, we have the best news possible. That God has provided a way to fix the brokenness of the world, the ruin of sin, by sending his son Jesus to live, to die, to rise again for us. But how come this good news, this best news, isn't always met with a good reaction? How come some of those who hear get angry and walk away frustrated that we believe such things? How come some of those who hear are indifferent and leave the conversation disinterested in the things that we care about? Or how come some hear the gospel, claim they believe in Jesus, but it makes no difference in their lives? Or even for us as Christians, how come we sometimes hear Jesus' encouragements, Jesus' calls to belief, but we struggle to live them out? How come the good news of Jesus isn't always seen for what it is? Good news. Well, as we're going to see today in Luke 8, it's not the good news itself that is the problem. It really comes down to how each person is listening to the good news. In fact, Jesus is about to explain that there are basically two kinds of people that hear the gospel. Those who hear the good news but do not understand, and those who hear the good news and do understand. And as we look at these two groups of people, we have to keep asking this question of ourselves. How are we listening? So as we turn our attention back to what we already read, Luke chapter 8 in verse 4, we see first who Jesus was teaching. Luke says that he was teaching a large crowd full of people from a variety of cities that Jesus had already been preaching to before this. At this point in Jesus' ministry, Jesus is focused on traveling around and sharing the gospel with all those who would listen. By the way, with studying the parables, here's a little tip. It's important to pay attention to who Jesus is teaching a specific parable to. Often knowing who Jesus is teaching a specific parable to helps us understand what he was teaching. And that's the case here. As this large crowd gathered, Luke is clear. Jesus purposely chose to teach using a parable. And for this parable, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, Jesus intentionally chose imagery that people of his day would easily understand, since they lived in a society that was centered on farming. The picture is of a farmer or a sower going out into the field to sow his seed. But what's interesting is the focus, as we already saw, isn't really on who that person is. We're given no information about the sower. The focus isn't even really on the seed. We're not told anything about it. Rather, Jesus' focus is on what happens to the seed, what kind of ground or soil that the seed lands on. So let's look at each one of these soils again. Look at verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed some, fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. The first soil is next to a road or path where people step on it, or where the birds swoop down and eat it. Look at verse 6. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. This next type of ground is very rocky, which means it probably didn't have a lot of soil available. And this prevented the roots from going down deep and finding the moisture it needed to grow and to flourish. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. This ground already had something growing in it. It had thorns growing in the ground, and these plants kept the good seed from living and thriving and growing. But finally, in verse 8, we hear what we expect to hear. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. When Jesus first started using this illustration, we probably had thought that this is what we would expect to hear. He's talking about the kingdom. We expect to hear about the growth of the kingdom. Luke then ends his description of Jesus' teaching by saying that while Jesus did this, he would regularly call out. He would regularly say something as he was teaching this parable. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And we're going to see why that's important in just a minute. But before we move on, we have to pause. We have to stop here a second. For many of us who have heard this parable before, we already know exactly what this parable means, what each part represents. However, what if we had never heard this before? What if, like Jesus' original audience, we didn't know what came next? Would we still understand what this parable means? Well, when we think about it that way, our answer to that would probably be no. We probably wouldn't understand what this parable means just in verses 4 to 8. We'd probably be like the disciples who, as soon as they got the chance, began to ask Jesus, what does this mean? What are you teaching here? But before we see Jesus' answer, we should let this hit us. Jesus shared this parable to a large crowd without explaining what it means to them. Why? Why would he do that? Well, Jesus actually answers that question. He's about to explain. And as we're going to see, it has to do with those who hear Jesus but do not understand Jesus. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he, Jesus, said, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." So the disciples do ask Jesus, "What do you mean?" Because they didn't understand. And this led Jesus to say these very interesting words in verses 9 and 10. He says, "To you, disciples, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." The disciples are being allowed to understand something here, something important. They're being allowed to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The word mystery, when it's used in the Bible, refers to something that we would not understand unless God revealed it to us. It's often used of the gospel. We wouldn't understand that God could forgive us, that God would forgive us, if it wasn't for the words of the gospel in the New Testament. And the kingdom of God refers to God's rule, his reign in the lives of his people, and how all of that works and comes together. So to summarize, Jesus is saying this: you, the disciples, are being given a gift, the gift of understanding some of the amazing truths of God's kingdom. However, Jesus says that to the rest, these truths are in parables. And now we got to stop a second and go, wait. I thought parables were meant to explain and illustrate spiritual truths. Yes, they are meant to do that. But in this passage, Jesus is showing us another way he used this tool. Some of Jesus' parables, Jesus meant to be difficult to understand. This is why he explained what they meant. He meant for this parable to be hard and needing an explanation, which is why he gave an explanation. But why? Well, we see his reason why in the rest of verse 10. "So that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." This phrase is actually a quote, a reference back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. You might remember Isaiah chapter 6, where the prophet Isaiah has this incredible vision of God, and he's sent on a mission by God to his people. However, this mission was going to be really hard. God says that this mission was to share the truth, yet God knew that no one would listen. He knew that they had hardened their hearts toward him, and that Isaiah would preach to a calloused nation to judge them in their unrepentant sin. And as Jesus shares this shocking statement again back in Luke 8, Jesus is saying the same thing. He is saying that he is purposely speaking the truth in a way that is difficult to understand because he knows the hearts of the people. In John 2, 24 and 25, it says that Jesus knew the heart of man, but Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them, to the people, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Jesus knew that there were some who would not believe in him, and he is teaching in a parable knowing that they wouldn't care to figure out what it means. It's like what happened to Jesus in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is a roller coaster of people loving Jesus and people walking away from Jesus. If you read it from verse 1 all the way to the end of the chapter, you do feel like you're on a roller coaster. Why? The beginning of the chapter is Jesus feeding the 5,000, and everyone is amazed. In fact, it says that some even tried to make him king right there on the spot. But when Jesus speaks to them, the same crowd, the next day, it becomes clear that they weren't wanting Jesus to be king for his teaching or for his mission. Rather, they wanted him to be king because he gave them free food. You can see this in John 6, 30 to 31. And Jesus, he has a response to this attitude, to this hard heart. And his response is to use a parable-like illustration, a parabolic statement to teach about what truly matters. Listen to these verses from John 6, coming one right after the other. John 6, 35. Jesus said to them, here's the parable, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." And listen to this response. It's amazing. John 6, 41. "Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down out of heaven.' So they grumbled." John 6, 52. "Then the Jews began to argue with one another." It's getting worse, right? "Saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?'" They're really bothered by this parable. John 6, 60. "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?'" Then finally in John 6, verse 66, As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus' statement, his mini parable, turns them off. Not just because it was difficult to understand, but because they didn't really want to understand. They wanted Jesus to be the king that they wanted him to be, not the king that God sent him to be. And we're seeing something similar in Luke chapter 8. Jesus usually does teach very clearly, but there were times in his great wisdom, and in a wisdom we don't always fully know why he did all these things, he used parables to drive home the fact that there's some who hear Jesus, but they don't understand. They hear Jesus, but they're not really listening. And unlike the disciples, they don't look for more understanding. It's very true that Jesus says some very difficult things as he's teaching, things that cause us to wrestle and require us to run to him and to the rest of his teaching to understand. But the question is, how are we listening? When we encounter a difficult teaching of Jesus, like this one here and what he says in verse 10, or a difficult teaching in any other portion of the Bible, what do? Do we run to Jesus for understanding? Do we wrestle with the text until we get it? Or do we just pass it on by, not wanting to deal with the uncomfortable teaching of Jesus, or not interested in the commands that causes us to give up certain things, but ultimately for our good and the glory of God? We cannot afford to just hear the word and keep going. We must hear the word and run to Jesus. Run to Jesus for understanding and for help. This is why Jesus says what he does in verse 8. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is saying, listen to me. And although Jesus in this moment, in his wisdom, did not explain this parable to everybody on that day, he does want it to be understood. He now explains the parable to his disciples. And in this explanation, we see further descriptions of those who hear and yet do not understand. Look with me at verses 11 to 14, where Jesus explains what he means. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Now Jesus is explaining what each part of the parable, what each soil means. First, he explains what the seed represents. He has to start there so we know what the soil is about. He says that the seed is the word of God. He says that the seed is the gospel. It's the good news of the kingdom of God that he himself has been preaching, as we see in Luke 5:1 and Luke 8:1. Next, he explains the meaning of each of the soils, types of ground. He says that each soil, each type of ground, represents a person who has heard the word of God but responds to it differently. Notice how often Jesus uses the word heard or hear. He's emphasizing that the point of this thing is how we listen. The issue with the soils wasn't that they didn't get any seed. The issue with these people is not that they didn't hear. It's how they responded to what they heard. So let's look at each soil type, each hearer, quickly. The first is the road. This is the soil that represents those who have heard the gospel, yet Jesus says the devil interferes. Like the stomping feet or the hungry birds, the devil, our worst enemy, swoops down and takes away the word from their heart. And Jesus says that the devil's intentions are plain, so that, or for the purpose that, they will not believe and be saved. This is a frightening passage. This is scary. And we're not told exactly how Satan does this, but Jesus is clear. Satan will do what he can to keep people from hearing and believing the gospel. Satan does not want people to be saved. The devil does not want us to experience grace. Satan does not want us to receive forgiveness. Satan is a murderer, John 8:44. He's described as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, 1 Peter 5:8. Now, it must be said here that Satan cannot snatch Christians from the hands of God, as Jesus says in John 10:29, but he can snatch the gospel from the heart of someone who hears but doesn't understand. Christians, we need to realize something. Whenever we share the gospel, we're entering a spiritual war zone. We have an enemy who does not want people to be saved. We need to suit up for battle. And if you want to know more on that, see Pastor's series on our spiritual armor that God gives us from last June. And we need to pray. We need to pray for God's word to penetrate deep into our hearts and deep into the hearts of those that we seek to share with. But there's another type of hearer. The next is the rocky soil. Again, Jesus makes clear, these people hear the word. They've heard the gospel. And at first, it looks like they believe. It says they receive the word. It says they have joy. But then something happens. Temptation comes. And this temptation causes them to fall away, to leave the faith. This phrase means to leave following God. And does this mean that true believers, true Christians can lose their salvation? Well, we have to look at the rest of the scriptures to see what is taught about that. 1 John 2:19 actually helps us understand what's going on here. 1 John 2:19 talks about how people seem to follow Jesus, but then they leave the faith. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, John writes. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. So there are some who seem to believe, but as John says, when they leave the faith, it actually is evidence they were never truly part of it to begin with. That's what's going on here. These people have heard the word and yet do not really believe. The next type of hearer is very similar to this. Jesus says next in the parable, he talks about the ground covered in thorns. He said, these people too hear the word, and they seem to receive it. But as they go on their way, as they live their lives, their spiritual growth is choked out. He says their spiritual growth is choked out by the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of life, the stresses, the prosperity, the distractions around us. These are those hearers who end up following something else instead of Jesus. The rich young ruler, as we hear about in the Gospels, is an example of this. Later on in Luke 18, we hear about a wealthy young man who asked Jesus an awesome question. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, his question is a little off, but at least he wants to know how to get to heaven. And Jesus' response is, obey the commands. And the young man says, I've done it. And Jesus knew that was going to be his answer, and he wanted him to get that answer because now this guy was in the place to hear what he really needed to hear. Now this guy was in the place for Jesus to present before him the stumbling block that was keeping him from Jesus. Luke 18:22-23. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he had heard these things, he, the young man, became very sad, for he was extremely rich. This is so sad because this guy was close. Jesus said he only lacked one thing. Yet his desire to follow Jesus was choked out by his desire for something else. His desire to follow Jesus was choked out by a desire for what he had. There are so many things that we desire in life, and some of these just might keep us from Jesus. For those who are not following Jesus, let me ask you, is there anything keeping you from Jesus? And though this isn't the point of Jesus' teaching here, let me say, Jesus is better than those things. He is better. Turn to Jesus. Now that Jesus has explained what he means by this parable, by this story, we see that it's actually a really sobering parable. It's a sobering reality that he's explaining. Jesus is saying that there are some who hear the gospel, but they don't understand. Simply hearing the good news isn't enough. Something more has to take place. But does this mean that the good news, the gospel, doesn't bear fruit? Does this mean when we preach the gospel on a Sunday morning, or we preach the gospel in a cubicle, or we share the gospel with our kids, does that mean that no one will respond, that fruit doesn't happen? Well, no, not at all. Jesus ends his explanation by describing those who hear and understand. Jesus describes the last soil, the last hearer, in verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word, just like everybody else, but their response is different, in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. The last type of hearer is a person who hears, but they receive the word in an honest and good heart. Their heart is different. Instead of Satan stealing it from their heart is open to it, and they hold it fast. They refuse to let it go. They hold on to the word of God in their heart. They believe it, and it produces great fruit, spiritual and evangelistic growth, with perseverance. So what's the difference here with this last type of hearer? Again, the thing to note is that they all heard the word. So what makes this group different? They didn't just hear the word, they held on to it. They believed in it. Every other group hears the word, but the word is taken away. The first type of hearer has the gospel taken away by Satan. The second group lets go of the gospel when temptation comes. The third group lets go of the gospel in order to hold on to something else. But the last group holds on to God's word and doesn't let it go. Now, we know from other places in Jesus' teaching that this isn't something that certain people can do because of how good they are or how awesome they are retaining things, or they're just a little more spiritual than the rest so they get heaven. No, Jesus says in John 6:44 that the Father is involved in this, that he draws people to Jesus. And we've already referenced from John 10:29, which says that the Father is the one who holds on to us. But look at the difference in these hearers. This is Jesus' point. It comes down to how they heard. The last group heard and believed. The last group heard and listened carefully. To this last group, the good news was good news because they understood what it was. Back in John 6, when many of Jesus' disciples, the people who had been following but left following him because of his teaching, Jesus looked around at the ones that were left, and he asked them, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" And Jesus was setting his disciples up. He was giving them a chance to share what they have learned. And Peter's response is amazing. And it's an example of the good soil. Look at John 6, 68 and 69. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Those are the words of someone who gets it. Someone who has heard and understood. The gospel really is good news. So hold on to it. Don't let it go. These are the words of eternal life. But what do we as Christians do with this teaching? We may feel like, yes, Zach, yes, Jesus, I do believe that you have the words of eternal life, but how are we supposed to respond? We've believed, now what? Now what does this mean? Well, Jesus ends his teaching here by sharing another really short parable. Don't worry, it's short, won't take as long to explain it. But this parable is important because it lets us know how to respond. He says that we are to take care to listen. Look at verse 16 of chapter 8. "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to life." This is another parable here in verse 16, but it's a really short one. And it's actually a common sense picture. We know that no one lights a lamp in order to hide it. That was what they used for light in those days. They didn't have any other fixtures or places where light came from. So in the evenings, they put their lamp up high. If you put it under some kind of jar or anything like that, or under the bed, it's useless. That's not the point of the lamp. The point is to see its light and let it shine. Jesus says something very similar in Matthew 5 that helps us understand what he's saying here. Matthew 5, 14 to 16, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and he gives light to all who are in the house. But listen to how he applies it in verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. As others have pointed out that I've gleaned from, Jesus is making a similar point in Luke 8. Now that you've understood the good news, don't hide it. Live it out. You've received the light of the gospel, so let it affect how you live so that the power of the good news is shown to other people. Jesus is saying the gospel was never meant to be hidden. This is his point in verse 17. He says nothing is hidden that will not become evident. Now, in this moment, Jesus did share about an aspect of the kingdom in a parable, but he did explain what it meant to the disciples. And he is saying here that the disciples are those who are meant to share it, who are meant to share the good news clearly and plainly. Jesus wants people to know the truth. So Jesus is saying here, listening is more than hearing. It's holding fast to the good news and letting it change our lives. It's holding fast to the good news and declaring it to others through our words, through how we live. And this leads Jesus to his final command, verse 18. So take care, Jesus says, how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. So take care how you listen. Jesus says we got to be careful here. We got to pay attention to how we listen. Not just allowing words to wash over our eyes from the scriptures or words to wash over our ears. We have to listen. And he gives the reason why. He says, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And Jesus isn't talking about worldly possessions here. He's not talking about the rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. He's not saying that. He's actually talking about the word. He says that those who hear the word and hold on to it, who know and love the gospel, who continue to look to Jesus to understand it and have joy in the gospel, now, those are the people who are going to continue to receive more of it. They're going to continue to grow in the word. They're going to continue to benefit from it. But those who don't really listen, who don't really care about the good news, maybe have it in their back pocket for a rainy day, but it's not of importance to them. Those are the people who, because they have not been changed by the word, because it not, hasn't really changed them, they're going to lose it. Even what they think they have, they will not have, Jesus says. So, how do we respond as believers? Jesus says, take care how you listen. Pay close attention to how you listen to the gospel. So after reading all of these words, hearing Jesus say, those who have ears to hear, let them hear, I got to ask, how are we listening? How am I listening? How are you listening at home? Like seeds from the hand of a farmer, God's word has been given to us. The question is, how are we listening? And for some, I imagine on this live stream, you've heard the good news, maybe more than once, but you've not yet believed. You've not said, yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus. Yes, he is the one I must serve. And this passage is saying to you, are you listening? Or have you allowed temptation to drive the word away? Or are you holding tightly to something else and you're holding so tightly you can't let go of it to grab on to Jesus and grab on to this good news? Well, through this parable, Jesus is talking to us, to you. He's saying, listen, believe. Jesus has died for our sins. There is forgiveness and cleansing and help and living available. Believe in him. Don't miss this chance. Because there will come a day when you will not be able to respond. I don't share that to scare anyone. I share that to say the truth. So we cannot wait. For others that are with us this morning, you've heard the good news. You've believed the good news. But just because we believed in the gospel doesn't mean we can stop listening. No, we must take care to how we continue to listen. The disciples understood, yet Jesus says, take care how you listen, disciples, even in your understanding. We must allow the good news to look like good news in our life. We must let the light of the gospel shine through us. The good news really is good news because it changes us. So as we think of how to respond this morning, we got to ask, how am I listening? To help us answer that question, I want to close with three exhortations directly from the Word of God. I'm not really going to explain these. I'm going to read them, say about a sentence or two. But what better way to respond to a sermon about listening to God's Word, a parable about hearing Jesus' Word, than by listening to the Bible, right? So as we think, how should I listen? How should I respond? Here are three passages, rapid fire, that tell us how we need to listen. First, James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, putting aside our sin, in humility receive the word implanted like a seed into our lives, which is able to save your souls. James is saying, put aside the temptations of this world. They're not worth it. Put aside your sin. Put away the distractions that are keeping you from Jesus and receive the good news. Why? Because it can save you. It can save you. James 1:22, the very next verse, provides another way we have to listen. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. It's not enough just to hear the word, to know that we're really listening. Jesus said that our light would shine, that we wouldn't hide the gospel change that has happened in our lives. So we have to live out the word. We need to let it bear fruit in our lives and affect others. So how should we listen? To live out what we're listening to. Hebrews 3:7-8. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. And this is a quote from the Old Testament referring to God's people hardening their hearts against God. When we hear God speaking in his word, we can't harden our hearts to what we hear, to what he's leading us to do, calling us to do, whether it's repent of our sins and turn to Jesus for the first time, or put away a sin, or talk to someone that he's leading us to, or just taking the words of the scriptures and saying, you know, I need to think about how I listen. We must listen. So, how is God calling you to listen? How is God calling me to listen? Let me encourage you to respond now as the Lord leads, as I pray, and then as we sing together in just a moment. Let's pray. Oh God, we confess that we want to listen to you. Oh Lord, even as I have already prayed today in preparation, I pray, oh God, that you would help us to listen. Open our eyes, open our ears to hear. Lord, I believe that this parable is meant to show us that hearing is important. It's not enough just to watch a stream and then turn it off. We must interact with the words of the living God in the scriptures. So help us to do that, Lord. You know how I need to do that individually in my life. You know how each person on the stream needs to do that. And I pray you'd give us eyes to see how we are to listen. And thank you, Jesus, for encouraging us, for calling us to listen. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.